Well, I'm going to read to you from Psalm 45. Our time really has gone this evening, so I won't have time to preach it. But I just want to read Psalm 45, maybe just make one or two brief comments and perhaps look at this another time. It says in verse 2 this, "You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips." We haven't got time, but in Song of Solomon chapter 5, there's a wonderful description of our Lord Jesus. It talks about him as being white and ruddy, fairer than the sons of men. And if only we could see Jesus and know who he truly is and all of his beauty. Do you remember those Greeks of old? They came to the disciples and they said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And surely that should be the desire of our hearts, that we would see and know Jesus. Now in the Song of Solomon, it's a poetic song, so you're not to take everything literally. You need to understand the different genres of scripture. And there's some wonderful, wonderful truths about Jesus Christ. And it's as if it's saying Christianity is not just mere obedience to the word. It is obedience. Loving God is obedience to him. But it's beyond mere obedience. You have all your senses in the Song of Solomon enlivened. It's about tasting, it's about feeling, it's about touching, it's about knowing, it's about enjoying, and it's about intimacy. And I think that's what's lacking in our lives as Christians. We may be very good on our doctrine. We may pass the test, maybe 10 out of 10 in doctrine. But what about experience? Doctrine should lead to experience. We sing, don't we, about wanting to know Jesus. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More about Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, he said, well, the one thing that he wanted was to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, to know the fellowship of his sufferings. That was his one desire. The psalmist said, "One thing I've desired, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." Experience, that's what we need, isn't it? And where does that come? Surely that comes in the closet, in the quiet place. It comes with spending time with God. And that's what Jane has done. She's literally spent hours in the presence of God, often flat upon her face, seeking God. And she's met with him in very precious ways. And in the Song of Songs, you have the lover coming, knocking. And she misses him and she longs for him and she wants him. And we should long for Christ, that we would know him, the height and the width and the depth and the breadth of his love. Because he is fairer than the sons of men, grace is poured upon his lips. Talks about the Song of Solomon. His mouth is sweeter than honey. And knowing Christ and hearing his voice in the pages of scriptures should bring us tremendous delight. But there's something perhaps more wonderful. It says this in verse 11 of Psalm 45. "So the king will greatly desire your beauty." You think, how could God desire our beauty? We feel so ugly. We feel so unclean. We don't feel very beautiful. Yet the Lord sees us in Christ, clothed with that robe of righteousness. In the Song of Solomon, the beloved says to the one he loves, "You have ravished my heart." Isn't that staggering? You've ravished my heart. Just looks at her, just looks at the necklace upon her, and looks in her eyes, and you've ravished my heart. And that's how the Lord loves us. Now, of course, we don't need to turn this into some strange romantic thing. But you know, I think that we fail to see our Christian lives as a marriage, and we ought to see it in that way. Perhaps as well we shirk back from some of the intimate language of the Song of Solomon because we don't see the purity of the Garden of Eden. And we don't see that this analogy is a pure analogy of perfect union and communion, maybe because we're sullied by sin and our concepts of intimacy. that we can't envisage that union with Christ in terms of a marriage, but that's how it's written in Scripture. You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We are one with him. He came to take upon himself our humanity and to raise us up. And is it amazing that we then should become partakers of his divinity? He didn't shirk back from the fact that he would take on our humanity. And the wonder of wonders, we can partake of his divine nature. And we're brought into this unity, the intimacy of marriage with Christ. My prayer is for myself that I would know Jesus so much better. I'm envious of people when they say, I just long to be with the Lord now. I often feel, well, I want to be on the earth. And that's right, we want to be a benefit, we want to be a help. But I envy people when they say, I just want to be with Jesus now. I wish he'd take me now to be with him. And that surely should be the desires of our hearts, so that we would know Christ in such a way that we can say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain.